It's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have pastored Merritt Assembly of God for going on 29 years. Not quite there yet, but we're working that way. A friend of mine will be hitting his 29th anniversary. Actually, two friends of mine will be hitting their 29th anniversary at their church in September, one here locally, another one in Volusia County. Another friend of mine will hit their 29th year of pastoring the same church in November, I think it is. And then I will hit 29 years in December. And so we are very thankful that God called us here. We never imagined that we would end up in beautiful Brevard County. Didn't even know it existed. I mean, we'd been to Daytona Beach as a child. We'd been down to St. Petersburg when I was in high school. Actually, I think I watched Star Wars for the first time when it was in at a movie theater in Daytona Beach many years ago. But never made it to Brevard County as far as I know. My uncle used to be stationed at Patrick Air Force Base, and so there is a little bit of a connection there. My cousin was born while he was stationed at Patrick Air Force Base. But man, has God been good to us in his divine placement. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40, but before we get into the Word of God, I want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Two things if you're in Central Brevard County: either you have an air conditioner or you don't. If you don't have an air conditioner, I'm sorry, you need an air conditioner. And if you do have an air conditioner, it's either working or it's not working. If it's working, it's only a matter of time before it needs some TLC. I heard somebody say about football coaches in the NFL one time that there are two types of coaches: those who have been fired and those who will soon be fired. Very few just walk away and retire from that gig. It is a results-oriented profession, and air conditioners, they need some TLC from time to time. And Creative AC Solutions can provide that TLC. They can help clean the unit, do whatever. If yours is struggling under the weight of demand during the summer months here, I encourage you to give them a call, 321-759-3284. See if you can arrange for a time for them to come take a look at your unit and get it up and running. And that would be a blessing to you. So one of the things that I did to help my air conditioner out was I had some new windows put in, and that means the original windows, I mean, they were old. I don't know exactly how old they were, but no matter what I tried to do to seal them up, never was quite successful. But these new windows that I got put in, it has caused my air conditioner to work less strenuously than what it has in the past. And so I'm very thankful for lower electric bills. And who knows, that may even prolong the life of my air conditioner, which I will be greatly appreciative of as well. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, if you need their services, don't wait until it breaks. Call them while it is still running so that they can keep you cool in the heat. So yesterday we were in verse number 18 of Isaiah chapter 40, and we were comparing God not just in magnitude, but also in justice. You're not going to find a more just God, a more holy God than God is. And the angels declare, God, you are righteous, you are true, you are just in all your ways and all your judgments, whether that is welcoming people into heaven or, how shall we say, denying entrance to those who rejected your wondrous, glorious offer of salvation. And even the people who are refused entrance into heaven will declare that God is holy and righteous and just. So verse number 19 is where we are going to pick up today. And today we're going to be talking about the futility of idolatry. It says, the workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. And so let's look at this for just a little bit before we move on. But there were people who, well, how do I want to say this? Much of society created gods in their image, where in Christianity, in Judaism, we were created by God in his image. There's a huge difference. If you look at the mythological gods of Greece or Rome or the Norse gods or anything like that, you will find that the gods that they created were supernatural beings with all of the same fallacies and spiritual strongholds in their life that human beings had. They were just more powerful. And that is not the relationship that we have with God. And so people get very defensive about their God. Now, I want you to know something. God is perfectly able to defend himself. When Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant, while it was being transported on the oxen, God had no problem defending himself. When the Ark of the Covenant was in the Philistine camps where it wasn't supposed to, he had no problem toppling Dagon. He had no problem letting the people of that community know, you know what, you don't want me here like this. I wasn't created. I'm not here for this. And so they eventually sent the Ark of the Covenant away, ends up going into a town, and huge numbers of people end up saying, huh, I wonder what all these dead bodies are here for, and climbing over the dead bodies and looking into the Ark of the Covenant, and there was just a massive plague that broke out against God's people. When the people moaned and groaned and complained in the wilderness, God had no problem defending himself. When Ananias and Sapphira blasphemed and lied to the Holy Spirit, God had no problem taking care of himself. God is an omnipotent God. He is tremendous at strategy and very effective at gaining victory and empowering his children for victory. Not so with idols. Okay? God was very successful against 850 prophets. There were 400 prophets and 450 prophets. So one group was of Baal, the other was Asherah, and God had no problem. You know, Elijah was mocking the people. He said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go first. And they were flailing around. They were making lots of noise. They were doing everything that they could. They were doing themselves harm. and they were exhausting themselves thinking that they were going to get God's attention. And Elijah just mocked them and said, maybe he's preoccupied. Maybe he's got a higher priority. And then Elijah said, come help me prepare God's altar. We're going to repair it. We're going to prepare the sacrifice. And then we're going to offer on it something that is more valuable right now, because there had been 3.5 years of plague or drought. He said, we're going to put water on there because it's very precious. And he cried out and said, God, hear my cry. Show these people that you are God, and Baal is not, and Asherah is not, and boom, God answered by fire. It's a no contest. Whenever there is a comparison between God and a futile idol, the devil will always walk away a defeated and embarrassed foe. Gideon, at one point in time, was known as Jerubbaal, and he before he went and delivered the children of Israel from the hands of the Midianites, the first thing he did was demolish the altar of Baal, and they were going to attack Gideon. And his dad said, look, if Baal needs defending by us, he is a very insufficient God. If he can't take care of himself, and I want you to know, God is able to do just that. When Paul was in Ephesus, there was a tremendous ruckus because the idol makers realized that if people continued to worship Jesus, that the idol-making industry was going to go out of business and they were going to suffer financially. So let's look. It says, the workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and silversmiths cast silver change. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. And so there are some people that think, well, as long as it's crafted into an image, it ought to be good to worship. I want you to know that didn't work for Jeroboam. Jeroboam said, we're going to make worship more convenient. You're not going to have to go to Jerusalem. We're going to put an idol here, and we're going to put an idol here, and you can come here and make your sacrifices. And God sent a prophet and said, this isn't of me. And Jeroboam cried out for healing because of the affliction that came upon him real quick, and he was healed, but he never did repent of making the image that others were worshiping, and it became a stumbling block. There are some people that say, well, if we have an image and then we overlay it with gold, then it will be even more valuable. I don't care what the price tag on something is. I don't care if it's made out of gold or platinum or encrusted with diamonds. It's never going to make an inanimate object of higher value than the living God. I heard a missionary tell a story one time that he was traveling in a land that was known for idolatry, and entered this temple with this massive idol, and he walked around and said, that's what I thought. No ears. Mouth doesn't move. He can't hear. He can't speak. His hands are fixed in a position. He can't do anything. And so it didn't matter how pleasing it was to the eye. It wasn't meant to be worshipped. The silversmith comes along and says, well, along with the gold, we're going to put some silver chains here, or we'll have them and they'll be convenient where people can come around. And then they realize something. You know what? By insisting that people have these idols here, we are leaving out a segment of society that may not have sufficient resources to make an idol of this caliber. And so verse number 20 is pretty interesting. It says, whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution. There are some people that think that you've got to be rich to worship Jesus. That's not true. Some of the greatest examples of the Word of God, in the Word of God, of people who worshiped were people who came from very humble beginnings or had very humble financial resources. You can find widows who were down to their last little bit of bread for them and their son. They were going to eat it and then they were going to die. It was a hopeless situation. And Elijah came along and God gave a miracle and protected them. There were many, many other examples. So it is not about how rich you are. Listen, if it depended upon me being rich when I came to Merit Assembly of God, we never would have been able to come because we weren't rich. I did not realize how much money people were making because I had never given it any consideration before. I just thought that everybody was making a similar amount of money. And then a friend of mine told me how much he charged per hour, and that was a discounted rate. And I said, whoa. And I'm a pretty able-bodied guy, and I was thinking, man, I made some bad financial choices here. I could have been making a lot more money through the years. And then he said, yeah, that's my discounted rate. I normally charge this. And I was like, wow. That's a significant amount of money. And during that time, God said, don't begrudge him how much money he makes, because if you will not allow him to make that kind of money and me to bless him financially, and he's a brother in Christ, he said, then I can never entrust you with those type of resources either. And so I don't care how much money a person makes. What I want to make sure is that they are worshiping God and they are honoring God with their finances. There are some people who have deemed themselves too poor to worship God, and I want you to know that that is an invalid comparison. It's not accurate, because I want you to see what this person that is too poor to worship even these idols, what it says that they do. They choose a tree that will not rot, and then they hire or seek for himself a skillful workman. So they hire somebody to prepare a carved image, that's back at the very beginning, that will not totter. And so they look to stabilize it. Listen, if I have to create my God with my own hands, it's not God. I did not create the concept of worshiping God. God did. God is in the redemption business. And so if you think that he's waiting for you to clean yourself up before you're able to come to him and worship him, I want to share a great word with you. That's not true. He's wanting you to come to him so he can clean you up and save you and let you know of your true value. So verse number 21 goes on and says this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely they have planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. And so there is a manifestation. There's actually a presentation that is made here that says, have you not known this? This is written to the people of God. This is people written to the people of God. And it says, let me read it to you. Verse number 21 from the Amplified Bible. It says, you worshipers of idols, you are without excuse. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? These things ought to convince you of God's omnipotence and of the folly of bowing down to idols. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? And so there are some people that think that God is intimidated by whether or not there's going to be a comparison between him and anyone else. And he's like, that is not the case. God is omnipotent, and no one else in the universe is. He is omnipresent. He has the ability to be everywhere at the same time. And even the devil does not have that ability. Okay? Too many times we give too much credit to the devil's capabilities and not nearly enough praise and thanksgiving for God in his abilities. So he says, why haven't you known this? Have you not heard? Did no one tell you the story from the foundations of the earth? Did you know, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to know that you have the possibility of being in the hall of faith along with everybody that is listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Do you realize that it is by faith that we understand that the things around us did not just happen due to a cosmic collision, but instead it happened because God spoke and the elements of creation obeyed and they fell in line and said, whatever you speak is what we are going to do. And so there are some people who are intimidated. If you've got students who are going to college, you've got to understand that there are many professors who will try and intimidate young adults. I'm not going to call them kids. They're young adults. They're going to try and intimidate these people into believing a secular or an idolatrous mindset instead of a godly mindset. So there were, I remember when there was a world religions class and people were like, oh, I don't want to go in there because of the professor. And it was supposedly a Christian professor. But once you got in there, you found out that he had set aside his faith in Jesus and he was more of a worshiper in some other idols. And so I want you to know, you don't have to be intimidated by those people. I tell people quite simply this. I do not have enough faith to believe in the evolutionist concept of how things began. I just don't. The odds are less than appealing. They're mind-numbing, improbable. You can't find anything in the existence of creation that would come into alignment with the crazy odds that it would take. And so I am prepared. You know, the Bible says be prepared to give an account for your faith. And so be ready in season and out of season. So I have my ways that I can address people like that. But I tell you what, I do have faith. I do have faith enough to believe that there's a holy God who loves mankind, who created this world and as a world for him to thrive in, and man chose foolishly. And because of foolish choices, we live in a creation that is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And yet that God who created it all sent his son so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled. And right now he is preparing a perfect place for you and for me, that where he is, there we will be also, without sorrow, without suffering, without sickness, without sin, without temptation. You see why heaven would be such a miserable place for an unrepentant person? They wouldn't want to be there because they choose the pleasures of sin instead of the beauty of holiness. So I pray that instead of embracing the futility of idolatry, that instead you will choose the omnipotence and the omniscience and the compassion of God and say, you know what? My God is so much better, so much more worthy to be praised. Let me close with this. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Let's see what it says here in the Amplified. It says, who brings dignitaries to nothing, who makes the judges and the rulers of the earth as chaos, emptiness, falsity, and humility. When God manifests his justice, when he manifests his power and his love and his holiness, there's no need for judges. And people who have made erroneous decisions, those decisions get revealed for the inconsistencies. Just about every judge has a person above them. And if their decisions are not constitutional, if they're not legal, the judges above them said, you made a wrong judgment. I want you to know that's what God does every single day. God is your just God. He is your advocate. I pray today that you will appeal to him because he is worthy. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I'm no longer